Presents Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, starring Walter Pidgeon, Joan Fontaine, Barbara Eden, Peter Lorre, Robert Sterling and Michael Ansara. Music by Paul Sawtell and Bert Schefter. Voiced by Neville Watchhurst on behalf of MCS Agency. Seawater, Bubbles and Foams.
Come with me, come with me on a voyage to the bottom of the sea. In a sea all blue-green, we will find love at the bottom of the sea. Unbelievable, inconceivable, fantastic it will seem, but we'll be the first, the very first, to live such a strange new dream. There will be lost and free on our voyage to the bottom of the sea. On our voyage to the bottom of the sea.
A futuristic submarine bursts up through the surface of an expanse of ocean ringed by icebergs. Newspapers surge onto the screen. The Daily News Dispatch announces super sub at North Pole. The Daily Chronicle, mystery sub revealed. The London Tribune, US hush-hush sub tests under Arctic. The Press Herald headlines with Nelson's folly becomes fact. The crew watch the TV news in the control room.
Today's top of the news comes from the top of the world. The unpredictable Admiral Harriman Nelson has done it again. His brainchild, a fantastic atomic submarine with an amazing glass nose, is now undergoing final test below the ice at the North Pole. To sit in judgment on the final test, the Bureau of Marine Exploration has sent a seaplane with its top officer, the former Vice Admiral B.J. Crawford, to rendezvous with the submarine Seaview in the Arctic. Flying with him is the congressional watchdog of the budget, penny-pinching Congressman Llewellyn Parker, who had fought a losing fight against what he had termed Nelson's folly. And so the question of the day comes to this. Will the final test on the USOS Seaview turn it into Nelson's folly, or will it be another triumph of a great man, a great inventor, who, despite his oddball reputation, may yet emerge as the predominant scientific genius of our time? So, bon voyage, Admiral Nelson. Good luck, Seaview.
Well, gentlemen, modesty forbids my adding anything to that. Shall we take her down, Captain?
Aye, aye, sir.
Let's make it 90 feet at the start, huh?
Aye, sir.
Diving stations, diving stations. Any time you're ready, Mr. Thompson.
Aye, sir.
Stand by. Where's the next, Mr. Thompson?
Next clear.
Next clear. Ready to dive.
Close all main ballast tank vents.
Stand by to blow tank.
Ballast tanks full.
Close the vent.
Flood negative.
Full dive on the plane.
15 degrees down bubble.
Secure the air.
All green.
All green.
Dive! All dive!
The sub disappears below the icy blue Arctic waters.
Pressure in the boat.
Let's go. 90 feet.
Level off at 90 feet.
The captain peers through the periscope as the waters close over the sub.
Downscope. All ahead, 2/3.
All ahead, 2/3.
The sub descends, its glass-paneled nose pointing sharply downwards among the craggy undersides of the icebergs.
Final trim, Captain.
Carry on.
Well, final trim, sir.
Depth 90 feet, speed 2/3.
Well, Lee, it's been a long, tough haul from conception to execution.
But, my boy, we've done it.
You've done it, sir. You know, it bears out what you taught us at Annapolis. The wild dreams of today are the practical realities of tomorrow.
I'm glad you remembered one of my more temperate quotes. Some of our colleagues haven't been quite so diplomatic. Say, speaking of diplomacy, we've got some guests to entertain. I've met them. Now it's your turn. And just remember, they hold the purse strings to this folly of ours.
Shall we dress?
Dress? Black tie.
Let's go. Take the con, Ed. I'll be for it.
Aye, aye, sir.
Nelson and the captain walk jauntily down a gangway.
Beautiful, isn't it?
It's the most exotic thing I've ever seen. No more, thank you.
Admiral, nice to see you, sir.
Captain Crane, Dr. Hiller. Congressman Park. How do you do,
captain,
sir?
You have an expensive toy here, Admiral. Though it is suitable for sightseeing.
Quite right, sir. We hope to see sights never before seen by man, and by seeing, solve some of the mysteries of the deep. Sorry for the brief hello when you came aboard, but this toy of mine is a demanding lady.
Aren't we all?
Washington probably thought you needed a woman's touch around here.
Research project, isn't it?
That's right.
The reaction of crewmen under conditions of lengthy confinement?
Yes, Admiral, and I appreciate the honor of being the only woman aboard.
Ah, but you're not. We have another one. Oh. You'll meet her. Shall we see the rest of the ship?
Well, I did think that was the purpose of our visit.
Doctor?
Congressman?
The control room. The brain of the sub. Over here, we have our chauffeur. Takes two to run this toy, helmsman and planesman. Now, on a submarine, it's always Christmas.
Well, that's what I've been telling Congress.
Wrong deduction, sir. That's our Christmas tree. Tells us when we can dive. Now, if we go down before all those lights are green, we start bailing. Over here, we have our ballast control.
How does it work?
Like an elevator system, Doctor. Takes us up and lets us down. Now, on this side, that is radar. This is sonar. Sonar keeps us from running into anything under the water. Radar does the same thing on the surface. Oh, try this one, Congressman. Two S's in progress. Now, if you'll come down here, Doctor. This is our missile tracking tape. If we have to shoot, at least we like to know where the missile is going. And if we do shoot, over there are the buttons. Trick is to know which one.
Suppose the other fellow shoots first.
In that event, sir, that's the way out. This way, Doctor, please. And watch your step here. The radio shack. Lee.
Excuse me. This way, please.
Sparks, make that Washington call in exactly 11 minutes, huh?
Aye, aye, sir.
Not even Jules Verne dreamed of anything like this. The world's only undersea aquarium.
What on earth is he doing?
Shark walking.
Shark walking?
Come on, Missy. Come on. Well,
for ages, man has been trying to learn the secret of the fish. Now we have a perfect underwater laboratory.
Well, Lucius, back with your fish again, I see.
B. James, nice to see you.
Commodore Emery, this is Dr. Hiller and Congressman Parker.
How do you do, Commodore? I still don't understand what he's doing.
Well, the Commodore regards all sea creatures as personal friends.
But
well, he'd rather be remembered for his discovery of a new fish than as one of the leading physicists of our time.
May I explain?
I wish you would.
My little friend Bessie here, we have to drug her in order to do some tests. Now I'm trying to force some water through her gills so she doesn't drown. In her present condition, she wouldn't even bite a congressman.
Well, then she's the only one on board who would.
Oh, you're much too sensitive, Congressman.
Right you are, Doctor. Come along, everybody.
See you later, Lucius.
I hope.
Come on. Come on. Get going.
Watch your step there. You've seen the brain of the sub. In here is the heart, the atomic motor room. Careful, sir. That's our warning system.
Disregard.
No one is allowed in there, not even congressmen. You understand. Your own safety.
The Admiral naughtily steps on the alarmed plate.
Now, down here you'll find the sting of the ship. In fact, there are more stings in here than in a hornet's nest. The missile and escape room. Congressman, there is more destructive force in this room than in all the explosives used in World War II. The missiles are for research. Experimental torpedoes. You name them, we've got them. Show them, Lee.
Right. Well, let's see. Well, here's something new. This is a magnetic primer. In case we lose power in the control room, we just slap this dude on by hand and away she goes.
This looks like a pineapple.
Some pineapple. One bite and pow. Oh, don't worry. It can't activate itself.
The captain?
Yes, sir.
Where does this door lead to?
That leads to Davy Jones' locker, sir. I would suggest if you contemplate using it, you use this.
Oh, no. No, thank you.
Oh, no offense, sir. Fred?
Yes, Captain.
Well, shall we continue?
PJ, take a look at this lad. He's Seaman Smith. Recognize him?
Should I?
Seems only yesterday you were bouncing him on your knees.
Smith? Old Bricktop's boy.
Yeah.
Spitting image of him, do we?
His mother wrote me that he'd finished his hitch in the Navy, so I had him sign up with us on the double.
Well, he looks a little big for me to bounce on my knee now.
Yeah.
Jimmy, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now you're a mini sub man, huh? How do you like the new model?
Oh, she handles like a dream, sir. I can't wait to test her under the ice.
You will. Good luck, my boy.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry to break in on your social life. Back to work.
This should interest you, Doctor. Dr. Jameson, Dr. Hiller, Congressman Parker.
How do you do?
Happy to meet you, Congressman.
Thank you.
The Dr. Hiller? Well, it's a pleasure to welcome such a distinguished psychiatrist aboard.
You flatter me. You seem very well equipped here and pleasantly unoccupied.
Well, we're hoping to keep it that way with the help of these little gadgets. I'm afraid it's mandatory that you wear our newest style in submarine sportswear.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
If you pick up a fatal dose of radiation, it glows red.
A fatal dose of radiation?
Oh, there's a warning. It loses all its color first. Oh, by the way, give me one of those for Admiral Crawford. I hate to break this up, Doc, but I have some healthier places to show our guests.
I'll check in later with you, Doctor.
This way, please.
Oh, there you are.
I've just introduced our guest to Dr. Jameson. By the way, Admiral, I have your dosimeter here.
Good man, Jameson. He'll keep you well filled in on statistics.
They all exchange puzzled looks and hurry off to investigate. In the canteen, a man plays the trumpet. A young woman in blue uniform dances energetically to the music while the other crew members look on appreciatively.
She's your dancing dietitian, and he's your musical chef.
She is my secretary, and as for him...
Sorry, I'm to blame, sir. I started it all.
I have no doubt of that. Doctor, I told you another woman was aboard, but I hardly expected you to meet her under such boisterous circumstances.
It all seems very gay and happy, and I am here to observe.
Yes, not choreography to a trumpet. Mr. Romano, belay that noisy horn. As for you, Miss Connors, we shall have a little talk later. Doctor...
I'll have a little talk now, Lieutenant, outside. Romano, aren't you about due back on duty?
Not for another 2 minutes yet, sir.
Captain Crane steps out to where Connors slouches sulkily.
Now, Lieutenant?
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Sir!
I'm sure your act will get a wonderful review in the Congressional Record.
Will they break me, Captain?
Well, they've broken better men for less. How do you explain this undignified behavior?
Well, I was just showing them how I'll dance at my wedding.
I see. Well, that is an extenuating circumstance. In about 3 weeks, isn't it?
And 2 days and 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Who's the unlucky man?
They kiss. Romano opens the door into the corridor and smirks.
Pardon me, Captain. May I?
By all means, Lieutenant.
What did you say about undignified behavior, Captain?
Captain Crane, control room, please.
We'll continue this discussion later. Lieutenant.
Under his mock serious gaze, she snaps to attention and then saunters away smiling.
Calling Seaview. Calling Seaview.
Come in, Washington.
Hello, Seaview.
Yeah, we're making contact, sir.
Very well.
You called me, sir?
Yes, we're just about through to Washington. Stand by to take her deep.
All right. Come in.
All set, sir. Inspector Bergen's on the line.
Bergen, Nelson here.
Forget the amenities. How's she running?
Like a clock. We're all set to make her dive under the ice. Official checkout time, 3:42.
Make it 500 feet, huh?
Aye, aye, sir.
We'll be out of sound range in a few seconds, Bergen, and then ride radio silence for the next 96 hours.
Give me my regards.
BJ sends his best to you, landlubber.
Is he seasick yet? He was the worst sailor in the Navy. Well, good hunting.
Thank you, Inspector. Keep a lamp burning.
The sub dives deeper into the Arctic waters. Dr. Hiller sits studiously making notes in her laboratory.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
Personnel file, you asked for.
Oh, thanks. Have some hot coffee?
Best prescription you've written today, Doctor.
Say, this Captain Crane of yours is surprisingly young for a job this size.
He was the youngest sub-captain in the Navy.
He must have a friend at court, the Admiral.
It's a bad diagnosis, Doctor. They are almost like father and son, but the captain earned his rank. Neither he nor the admiral would have it any other way.
Oh, no criticism intended. I'm sure you both live happily ever after, but, you know, settling down isn't going to be an easy adjustment after all this.
Well, I was born on a farm, and I'm going back. We've bought a small ranch in Colorado.
What do you read?
You can't make it out, Captain.
Berkshire? No. Nose camera.
Camera on.
Kane draws on his cigarette and watches the screen, which shows lumps of rock falling through the water.
Take over, I'll be four.
As the sub continues diving through the avalanche of rock, Crane clambers down into the observation lounge.
Here they are.
Admiral.
How deep are we?
Riding at 500 feet. 650 left from keel to bottom.
Take her to 1,000.
Take her to 1,000 feet. Emergency.
Dr. Hiller and Kathy Connors hold on to each other as the sub continues buffeting its way through the barrage. The ship seems to be coming out the other side of the rockfall. The sub's nose now points upwards.
Congressman, you and the ladies go aft. Might be safer there. Break out the polar gear. Let's go, BJ.
The sub continues on upwards.
Just breaking surface, sir.
I'll stop.
Back the hatch.
Back the hatch.
Let's go. Come on, BJ.
Nelson dons a jacket and a peaked cap and heads briskly up the ladder to the hatch. The sub breaks surface, the surrounding icebergs are whipped by squalls of snow-laden wind, the sky is a seething mass of red cloud. Nelson emerges onto the bridge, swiftly followed by Captain Crane and by Admiral Crawford. Nelson immediately pulls off his jacket as he scans the fiery sky.
My God, sky's on fire.
The others begin pulling off their coats as well. Lumps are shearing off the icebergs.
What happened?
Come on, let's find out.
Nelson comes back into the control room, his shirt and hat soaked in sweat. The crew turn to him in trepidation as he leans wearily by the periscope. Nelson mops his face. Crawford comes back down the steps, sweating profusely and casting nervous glances upwards.
Get Washington. Hurry up and get quick. Get Washington.
Aye, aye, sir.
There's a bad magnetic storm, sir.
Can you tell?
On fire, sir. USOS Seaview calling Washington. Come in, Washington. I can't seem to break through, sir.
Keep trying.
Admiral Nelson calling Bureau of Marine Exploration. Inspector Bergen.
Crane on the bridge looks around through binoculars. He spots what would appear to be a man lying on an ice floe.
Rescue team, up and out on the double. Man on the ice. Lay the parkas.
Rescue team, topside, on the double.
All set, sir. Inspector Bergen's on the line.
Pipes this through the ship.
Aye.
Bergen, we've just seen it. What is it?
Nelson, we've been calling you for almost 3 days.
What's that fire in the sky?
It's the Van Allen belt of radiation, the 300-mile level. It caught fire about 50 hours ago. Nobody knows how, but a South African observatory reported heavy meteor activity at about the same time it exploded.
Theoretically, it's possible.
What's the forecast?
We just don't know. The UN has called an emergency scientific conference. It's working around the clock. The world's top brains are there. Qatar, Zuko, Charbier, and the president wants you there on the double.
Can you send a plane for me?
Impossible. Thermal conditions have grounded all aircraft. There's nothing flying anywhere in the world. The temperature has reached 135 degrees, and there's no way of knowing how much hotter it will get. Dew Line headquarters, just below the pole, reports the polar ice caps are melting.
Okay, Bergen, we're on our way. Be there in 2 days.
Godspeed. Out.
Nelson steps back into the control room as if preparing to address the attentive crew. Crane comes back down the steps.
Let's get going, Captain.
In a moment, sir. Picked up a survivor. He's in pretty bad shape. Doc will lend a hand. Must have been out there for 2 days. He's burned to a crisp.
Who is he?
I don't know. Let's get him to sick bay.
We're down full speed, New York.
New York? Aye, aye, sir.
He had those boots with him, sir.
I'll take care of it.
Oh, and here are the man's papers.
All right, take her down. Periscope depth.
Dive. Low dive on the planes. Low negative.
All ahead full.
All ahead full.
The sub dives. Nelson and Crane walk together.
What's his name?
Miguel Alvarez. Civilian scientist. Doing a government survey on Ice Floe Delta. Lucky to be alive.
So are we.
Yeah.
The pair walk into the sick bay where Alvarez is being tended by both doctors and by Kathy Connors.
How is he, Doctor?
Severe exposure. Small wonder lying out there in 135 degrees heat for 2 days.
Jim.
Listen, Doctor, listen.
Jim, you there?
I can't hold on. It's breaking away. The ice floe's drifting. Jim, can you hear me? Mac, you there? Mac.
There must be others still out there in that ice.
This is the captain.
Reverse course, repeat. Reverse course. Rescue team, stand by.
This is Admiral Nelson.
Hold your course.
You heard what the man said. We can't leave this area without searching for survivors.
Captain Crane, if we waste any time at all here, there may be no survivors left anywhere in the world.
Mike, help me. Please, help me.
Crane leaves. Kathy quick steps after him. Crane enters the control room.
I've got him, Lieutenant. Sir? I didn't know there was a regulation about not picking up survivors.
Crane shoots Romano a wounded look. Romano steps away. Crane looks through the periscope. Kathy Connors hurries into the control room.
Lee? The chances are no one's still alive out there anyway.
He was still alive, wasn't he?
She nods mutely as he returns to the periscope. He scans the scorched horizon. The sub continues at periscope level. Crane and Romano look at the screen showing scenes of flaming forests.
Blazing Van Allen belt continues to spread a path of death and destruction across the world. The rising heat has touched off raging forest fires in the Ural Mountains of Russia, the Black Forest of Germany, and the rich French timberlands. And these film clips from the Northwest show...
Let's see how the rest of the crew's taking it.
The situation grows more desperate with a report that emergency shipping...
Are you still out of cookie?
For more than 24 hours, sir. They've eaten nothing but coffee and pencils in all that time. Excuse me.
I better see if he needs me.
The projection must be on the nose. No margin for error. Now, if these figures prove out, the...
Keeping you awake, Harry?
Yeah. Now, the last temperature reading is... It checks on the nose. Lucius, I think we've hit it.
Oh, you're always so sure of everything.
If the temperature maintains the same rate of progression... And if we can reach there by the 29th...
29? It has to be the 29th.
And projected exactly 16 hours... B.J., it's right. I don't see how we can miss.
Do you need me, sir?
Huh? No, Connors, thank you. And close the door on the way out, will you, please?
Yes, sir.
Lucius.
Now what?
Get off that coat, Severn. Let's double-check these figures.
I do more walking for you than I do with a shark.
Yeah. Now, the present rate of temperature rise...
The fiery sky is now threatening to strike a mortal blow at the heart of the Midwest Farm Belt. Thousands of acres of vital grain have already shriveled under the intense heat, giving rise to fears of famine if the flaming belt continues to rage unchecked. In Italy, all roads leading to Rome and the Vatican have been jammed for 2 days. From all over Europe, the faithful have been streaming toward St. Peter's to pray for deliverance from the catastrophe which has struck the earth. Here now, our television satellite camera in outer space showing the frightening ring of fire encircling the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our broadcast for today.
The crew clustered around the screen in the bunk room digest the terrible news.
Well, there'll be a hot time in the old world tonight.
That's not even funny, Mac.
Attention!
As you were. Well, you've all seen it. There's not much that I can add, except to tell you that the situation is far from hopeless. Right now in New York, the greatest scientific minds in the world are working around the clock, analyzing ways and means of survival. And don't forget, we have two of the best scientific minds right here in this book.
Sir, what about leave? I live in New York, and I got a baby that's new in the family.
I'm sorry, there hasn't been any word on leaves yet. But I'll keep you all posted.
The sub continues through the water. It now surfaces in the Hudson River off New York. The sky is still the same seething red.
word that Admiral Nelson is in the building and he's walking through the lower hallway. Excitement has been at fever pitch since last night's radio report from the submarine Seaview that the Admiral had conceived a plan which hopefully might extinguish the flaming Van Allen belt. Now, several theories are already under consideration by the UN. In fact, yesterday, Dr. Zucco, the eminent physicist of Vienna, presented his own plan, which in essence says, hands off, let's wait and see. Unofficial sources tell us that Dr. Zucco's argument swayed the scientific body and they might give him their stamp of approval. However, in view of Admiral Nelson's tremendous scientific achievements, we've been advised that the International Scientific Committee is standing pat until Nelson's plan can be evaluated.
Doit être consumé de par leur propre naturel par le feu.
No, arrêtez! Tout ce que nous faisons ici, c'est de causer.
There's an interruption. Some woman is a bit hysterical. Nerves are on edge, and this may be one of the most important moments in history. Oh, the Admiral and Commodore Emery are coming into the conference room right now.
Les vues à ce sujet de notre collègue distingué, l'amiral. C'est pourquoi, messieurs, je termine mes remarques. Je demande la permission, monsieur le président, de donner la parole à l'amiral Nelson.
We thank the French delegate for his remarks, and we will take them under advisement. We acknowledge the arrival of two of the world's most distinguished scientists, Admiral Nelson and Commodore Emery. And now the chair will listen to Admiral Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, distinguished scientists, ladies and gentlemen, this planet is impaled on a roasting spit, slowly but inexorably being seared and blistered by the fire in the sky. If the Van Allen belt continues to burn, the world will burn with it. And no one can doubt that civilization as we know it will disintegrate if the temperature should rise to 175 degrees. Now, in the last 5 days, the recorded temperature rise has been 2 degrees every 24 hours. If that rate is maintained, our planet has a life expectancy of about 3 weeks. Therefore, if we are to avoid cremation, we must act at once.
Lucius, let me have those charts of ours and the maps, will you please? Thank you. Now, if I may make a comparison, when a diseased appendage threatens the life of a human body, a doctor has no choice but to amputate. We have no choice either. We must amputate the belt or die.
Amputate? How?
Not with a knife, doctor, but with a shot in the heart. The burning belt must be exploded clear of the Earth's magnetic field. And we have exactly 16 days and 3 hours in which to do it.
How do you arrive at that particular timing?
How? The Admiral and I have worked out the mathematical formula. And believe me, our figures are correct. Oh, he irritates me.
The shot must take place on August the 29th at exactly 4 p.m. The location of this operation is as vital as the time. A place, 205 miles north, northwest of Guam in the Marianas Islands. To be exact, where are those figures, Lucius? To be exact, latitude 15 degrees north, longitude 145 degrees east. The location and the time are dictated by the Earth's rotation and the consequent trajectory of firing.
Firing of what, Admiral?
An atomic missile, Doctor, fired from the submarine Seaview. The missile will arc along the burning belt. As it detonates, it will seed the flames with an overdose of radiation, causing the belt to explode outward into space. To simplify it, take a toy balloon. A little too much air and poof, no balloon. A little too much radiation and poof, no world.
Perdio! Palomo, master!
Insanity! Insanity! This lunatic scheme will destroy us all.
Gentlemen, care to look at our figures?
The Admiral's scheme is suicidal insanity. You should know that, Commodore. Explode the belt and you explode the world.
Not if the blast is directed away from us.
No. I am diametrically opposed. I know the chemical composition of the gases within the belt and the rate of consumption by fire. My calculations cannot be wrong. I say the belt will burn itself out. At 173 degrees, it will burn itself out.
Fine. What if it doesn't burn itself out?
You have your plan. I have mine. Time will judge which one is right.
Doctor, our plan can't wait. You say the belt will burn out at 173 degrees. At the present rate of time, that's August the 30th. We say it won't burn out, but we can't wait to test our theory because we must fire the missile on August the 29th. Otherwise, we lose our angle of trajectory.
Then this scientific body must decide which one of us is right.
I'm not going to wait and watch the world burn to a crisp. I have 16 days to get to the Marianas, and I shall need every ounce of speed and every precious moment of time.
Lucius, have the captain stand by to get underway.
I demand the Admiral's scheme be referred to committee. No. I say again, I demand the Admiral's scheme be referred to committee.
There's no time.
Then I call a vote. All those in favor of the Admiral's scheme. Aye. All those against.
No!
Not mine, yours. My answer shall come only from the President of the United States.
Nelson picks up his hat and powers out of the assembly, closely followed by Kathy Connors.
We'll never get out of the building.
We go to the basement.
Sir, what about the congressman and Admiral?
There's no other way. We'll have to leave him behind. Phew, this heat. Hold these, Lieutenant. Get out of this.
Connors, Nelson, and another officer scurry across the car park and away.
Quiet, sir! Cast on, clear the deck!
The trio run to the sea view. Crew members cast off. Troops in white helmets pursue them through the car park and onto the wharf. Connors comes down the steps into the arms of her fiancé, Crane.
You all right?
Okay, in just a minute. And since I get...
Crash dive.
What?
You heard me, crash dive.
Well, you want police on deck. A crash dive will kill them.
Give them a 15-second warning to clear off and then dive. That's an order. Come on, Lucius.
Attention, this is the captain. The sub will dive in 15 seconds. Clear the deck. Sound the klaxon.
Sail camera on!
Close all main ballast tank vents.
Repeat warning, this sub is diving immediately. Clear the deck. Clear the deck. All right, take her down.
Prepare to dive.
Ballast tank's full.
All green. Dive! Dive!
Miles under. Deck's awash. Stern gone.
Crane watches as the screen relays pictures of the policeman being sucked down after the diving sub.
Make the climb, Lieutenant. I'll be in the Admiral's cabin.
Aye, aye, sir.
Lee! He had no other choice.
I hope Washington agrees with you. I don't understand. Ordering a crash dive with men on deck.
Zuko just can't be right.
You better make deadly sure he's wrong.
Come in.
Sir.
Oh, forget it, Lee. Military police swim like fish. It's part of their training. Now, here's our goal, the Marianas. And we've only got 16 days to get there. What do you think, Captain?
The Panama Canal is knocked out. Go around the horn, doubles the distance. In my opinion, I'm afraid it's impossible.
Impossible? Sounds like Zuko. Nothing is impossible.
We'll make it if we get the President's permission. Captain, set your course for the Marianas as though we already had that permission. And give us all the speed you can make.
Sir.
Captain.
Very well, sir.
Ah, Doctor, Mr. Alvarez, I'd forgotten you two were still aboard.
My orders did not include a trip to the Marianas or wherever you're headed, Admiral. I must get off the submarine.
There may be no chance to get into port, Doctor. I'm afraid you'll both have to go along for the ride. Yes?
Sparks, sir. No contacts yet. Since the heat went over, 139 radio contact is highly erratic.
The radiation has set up a field of static.
Forget the technicalities. Keep at it. I must talk with the President.
Aye, aye, sir.
Now, look here, Admiral.
Doctor, as I remember, your research project was men under stress. You couldn't have picked a better laboratory.
Glad to see you up and about, Mr. Alvarez. Sorry you didn't get ashore, but I'm sure we'll be able to find something to keep you busy.
Don't worry about me, Admiral. Man must accept what is ordained.
It's convenient rationalization, but under the circumstances, there seems to be no alternative.
Nelson and Emery exchange long-suffering looks. The Seaview continues on its way. In the control room.
Check the heat. Up scope. How hot is it up there?
141.2 degrees.
No snow today.
Down scope.
USOS Seaview calling Washington. Come in, Washington.
25 hours of static in my ear. Man, I'm getting shell shocked.
Now, I'll say it again, loudmouth. You talk pretty big. Behind the Admiral's back.
Yeah? Well, here's a message for you. Special delivery.
Crane is passing the bunk room where the fight rages.
All right, break it up! Shut!
Now, I don't know who or what started this, but I'm telling you, the next fight ends up in the brig. Is that clear? Now, you two men shake hands and forget it. Carry on.
Question, Captain.
Shoot.
We heading for the Pacific?
I'd answer that question, Gleason, if I could, but I can't yet.
We certainly are heading someplace mighty fast.
Sir, maybe home soon.
I can tell you this. We've been heading south for the last 25 hours. Whether or not we stay on course depends on the President. The Admiral's still trying to contact him. As for home, you'll be holding that new baby on your knee before you know it.
But what about this burning belt, Captain?
Captain Green, I've just picked up my ammo.
That's my hometown.
Hey, what about that, huh?
Holy mackerel.
Sparks, this is the Captain. Pipe it through the ship.
Aye, aye, sir.
And the news from Paris is just as disastrous. The rising water of the Seine is over on its banks, flooding out thousands of homes in the low-lying areas. From Moscow, scattered reports indicate a severe shortage of water as wells from the Ukraine to the steppes all dry up. In China and India, conditions are chaotic as riots and pestilence sweep the land. Meanwhile, the heat has burned like a giant torch across the face of Africa. Terror-stricken herds of wild animals, fleeing from the blazing forests to the open plains, are dying of thirst around mud-caked waterholes. Other reports indicate that steaming water from the melting north and south poles are being sucked into the air currents, spreading weird, freakish fog banks throughout the world. In many areas, dense fog severely hampers vital operations. In this country, the blistering heat continues to blaze a path of destruction across the Midwest grain belt. The rich farmland of America is now almost a waste.
Excuse me.
Hey, what's the story, Captain?
Sparks, do we lose contact?
No, sir. The Admiral ordered and used blackout.
Hey, all right, knock it off!
Crane hangs up the phone and walks crestfallen out from the bunk room under the gaze of the crew. Out in the corridor, he picks up another phone.
Yes?
Sir, may I ask why you blacked out the news?
A matter of morale, Captain. No news is better than bad news.
I can't agree, sir. This is no time to cut the men off from the world.
There may be no world at all, Captain, if we don't start making news instead of listening to it.
May I be excused, sir?
What was that about the fog bank? Do you remember?
Kathy trips lightly down a flight of stairs.
Lee!
All
All right, Lee, simmer down. Now, I know the Admiral was rough, and I also know about maritime regulations.
It had nothing to do with regulations.
Lee!
It's a matter of common decency. The men are worried sick about their families. They have a right to know the facts, good or bad.
Lee, come have a cup of coffee.
I don't want any coffee.
Please! Now, you know the Admiral as well as I do, and we've never known him to be wrong on a question of policy.
Even if it ruins morale?
Well, that's just what he hopes to avoid.
There's a strange way of showing it.
There may be some here whose friends and loved ones have already gone to meet their maker. If it is God's will that they and we shall die, so be it. A joyous reunion can be only a brief moment away.
That's enough, Mr. Alvarez. That's more than enough. What kind of talk is this anyway?
I only came to offer comfort.
Comfort? You offer defeatism. May I remind you this is a federal ship and these are federal seamen. By what right do you dare preach of imminent death? Of meek resignation to the inevitable?
Captain, I...
Nothing is inevitable except defeat for those that give up without a fight. I'll remind you to keep your sniveling philosophies to yourself. Now get forward and stay away from my men.
As you wish, Captain.
Alvarez complies, but with unimpeachable dignity.
Carry on.
Lee! Please, don't do it!
Come in. Yes, Captain. Still upset about that news blackout?
As a matter of fact, I am, sir. And more than that, this man Alvarez is trying to subvert the crew. If I'm to meet your deadline at the Marianas, I need fighters, not fatalists.
Then order Alvarez to keep away from the crew.
I've already done that. But if I might suggest, sir, it would help you treat the crew as men and not like children. If you just let them in on your plans.
That has always been my intention, Captain, but only at the proper time. Sparks.
Sir?
What luck with Washington?
Static's getting worse, sir. That Miami pickup was just a freak. Now all contacts blacked out.
Very well.
Now what? You can't reach the president.
I haven't given up trying.
But the radio.
Where are we now, Captain?
Sir?
Just exactly where are we?
We're right here, sir.
Good. Set a course close in toward Cape de San Roque.
May I ask why, sir?
Static caused by magnetic storms may knock out radios, but it won't affect the telephone cable.
Telephone cable?
Yes, Lucius, right here. Our mine detector should locate it easily where it crosses the continental shelf. Have engineering rig a tapping device.
Then tap the cable.
If we can't reach the president by radio, we'll tap the cable and phone him over the Rio to London telephone cable.
I like that, Harry.
The Sea View continues on its course. It appears to be descending to a great depth. Crane and several crewmen prepare to make a sortie in diving gear.
Thank you. Check your mask.
Right.
Check. Alvarez, I thought I asked for volunteers.
That's right.
A lot of character, aren't you?
Hardly out of character, Captain. Undersea work was part of my job.
All right, let's move out.
They all step into the airlock.
All clear?
Clear!
Secure the hatch.
Hatch secure.
Prepare to flood.
Ready here.
Diver ready.
Slow flood. Slow flood.
Nelson and Emery watch from the observation lounge.
Let's hope this works.
I won't count on it.
The ship drops towards the seabed. Hiller and Connors enter the observation lounge. The Sea View now settles on the bottom of the sea. The divers file past the nose windows. the half-dozen frogmen swim away from the sub carrying harpoon guns and assorted gear. They glide over corals, through which swim a variety of fish. Alvarez peers through his diving mask, shining a light around. Crane looks down at rows of giant anemones. He swims forwards, holding what looks like a piece of electronic equipment. The divers file through an archway of seaweed. Crane lags behind the others. He pauses and then drops down to the seabed. He feels around among the pebbles and unearths what would appear to be a thick cable. He swings his torch in an arc repeatedly.
There's the signal. They found it.
Where?
Right out there. Cut sparks.
I can't see anything but the signal.
Stand by, Sparks. They've located the cable. Should be a connection in a minute.
Aye, aye, sir.
Crane suddenly spots a huge swordfish swimming at him. Raising his harpoon gun, he looses a harpoon into the fish's ribcage. No sooner is this peril dealt with than enormous tentacles begin to flail gently behind a rock and a huge octopus slides out, its vast eye wide and sinister. Crane remains oblivious as the gigantic beast extends a tentacle tipped with a pad of sticky suckers towards where he kneels working among the gravel. Crane is grabbed, enveloped by the tentacle and dragged towards the octopus. Alvarez races to Crane's defense. Crane continues to struggle. Alvarez arrives, attempts to pull him free and then looses a harpoon at the octopus. The other divers pick up what is happening and race back to lend a hand. They all pitch in and struggle to prise the creature's sticky tentacles off the captain. One of the divers lights a flare and holds it up to the monster's head. crane is still firmly wrapped in the coiled tentacles and struggling to break free. Blood gushes from the octopus and Crane unravels himself from its grip. The divers hurry away from the scene of the battle, all except Alvarez, who returns to the cable. Having attached the bugging device to the cable, Alvarez then waves his torch.
Connection made, Admiral.
Hello? Hello, this is Submarine Seaview. Can anybody hear us? Hello?
Someone is coming in.
Can you hear us?
This is London. Hello? This is London speaking.
Can you hear me, London? This is Submarine Seaview, Admiral Nelson.
Do I hear you, Seaview? Go ahead.
Could you patch me through to Washington? Hello, hello, come in, London.
Oh, sorry, sir, not a chance. We've been out of contact with the States for 35 hours. There's no answer on either the North or South cable.
Harry, we'll never get through.
Could you relay a call through the telephone satellite?
Impossible. The whole system's flattened out. London's been evacuated and...
Hello? Hello. Come in, London. Are you there? Hello. Break the connections, Box. Order that last man in.
Aye, aye, sir.
Lee? Oh, Lee, I'm glad to see you.
Am I glad to see you? What do you say, Doc?
Apparently no ribs broken.
You're very fortunate, Captain.
He's all right.
Where's that? Thanks. It was a perfect shot. Saved my life.
My hand was guided by the Lord.
Perhaps, but I'm glad fatalism didn't run its obvious course.
Lee.
I'm sorry. That was uncalled for. Thanks.
Oh, this will have to be seen too, Doctor.
Bring him to sick bay.
Please come this way.
How about you, Romano?
Nothing, Captain.
Good.
You had me kind of worried there for a minute.
I had myself worried.
Lee, are you all right?
Well, I'm still in one piece. What's the news, Admiral?
Disastrous. For all they know, there isn't any Washington. No London either, from the sound of things.
What do we do now?
Let's get the ship underway, then have the crew stand by for an announcement.
Aye, aye, sir.
Luchas, I'm about to make the most important decision of my life, and I'd like you there. Connors?
Yes, sir.
Box?
Sir?
Pipe this through the ship.
Aye, aye, sir. Ready, sir.
Now hear this. Men, this is a time for decision.
You heard the tragic news over the cable. Contact with Washington is now impossible. This means we can't get presidential approval of my plan. Therefore, the final decision must be made now. There are only two choices. So, with higher directives unavailable and by the authority vested in me, I have made that final decision. We are headed for the Marianas to fire the missile. Now it's a race against time. A countdown of only 14 days in which to cross half the world. If we are to win that race, and we must, sacrifices will become daily obligations. The new work schedule will be posted immediately. And I tell you now, it's a rough one. Just one thing more.
Our world faces its darkest hour. But I am convinced that, with God's help, my plan will succeed, and the world will survive. That is all.
The submarine continues along the seabed.
Doctor?
Captain.
Just checking on Alvarez.
He went forward with Dr. Jameson. Seems to be all right. I wish I could say the same of some of the others.
George Young.
Mm-hmm. I've given him a sedative. Nervous hysteria.
Well, after all, Doctor, he just became a new father. And it's only his second trip.
It's not necessarily a question of experience. Now, here's a veteran, your engineer, Lieutenant Hodges. Lieutenant.
What seems to be your problem, Mr. Hodges?
Just don't feel good, sir. I'll be okay in an hour or so.
You try and get some rest. We'll manage.
Yes, sir.
What happened to him?
Same thing. Hyperneurasthenia. Your crew's like a capped oil well. When tension builds up, there's bound to be an explosion.
But these are hand-picked men.
Therefore, with eyes to see and minds that question, oh, they know the world's probably on the brink of oblivion, but instead of trying to get to their homes and finding their families, here they are, racing under the sea, driven on by one man's wild scheme, which has no proven scientific basis.
Doctor, this is a submarine, not a nursery school, and the Admiral's orders must be obeyed.
I wonder. Professionally, I'm interested to know if the Admiral always behaves this way, this ruthless compulsion that... Excuse me.
Crane casts a skeptical look back and then leaves Hiller. Crane enters the control room. He despondently picks up a chart.
Where are we, Romano?
Sub's right here, Skipper. We ought to reach it.
The lights all go out.
Engine room, what happened?
The generator's gone out, sir.
How bad?
Don't know yet, sir. We're checking.
All stop,
sir.
What is it, Lee? It's a generator. They're checking on it now.
It's an armature, Captain.
How long to fix?
About 10 hours.
Can't afford to wait 10 hours? It's dangerous not to wait. Radar and sonar are both knocked out. We can't move without them.
Yes, we can. There's nothing wrong with the motors. As for sonar and radar, these are safe waters. Keep moving and rush those repairs. That's an order, Captain.
All ahead, two-thirds.
All ahead, two-thirds.
I get on those repairs on the double.
The Sea View continues on its course. Connors enters the observation room where Alvarez sits with his dog.
Hello.
Oh, you startled me. It's so dark in here.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm the one that's sorry. I didn't thank you for saving Lee. That was a very brave thing you did, risking your life to save his.
We'll all die when our time comes.
You really believe the world is coming to an end?
Yes, I do. I had time to think about it out there on the ice. At first, I was puzzled. But then I began to see things clearly. As a child, I was pledged to the church. But my mind was filled with doubts, enough to make me turn my back on my chosen path. But out there, the fire burned away my doubts. And I saw the truth, crystal clear in my mind and in my heart. And I found peace again.
And resignation.
Has man a right to even try to oppose God's will?
Well, why should God want to destroy us?
Haven't we tried to destroy ourselves?
I don't agree with anything you say. I won't.
Doesn't matter. Perhaps our death comes even sooner than the others.
Mines! Lee! Mines! Dead ahead!
After some mines!
All stop,
sir. Take over.
Aye, sir. The Sea View slides in among a bizarre field of tethered floating mines. Crane and Romano run into the observation room.
It's caught in the searchlight casing, sir.
All back, dead slow.
The sub goes into reverse. They appear to have snagged one of the mine cables, however, and are dragging the bomb closer to the hull.
Hold! All stop!
All stop!
We've got to clear it from the outside.
Frog pit.
No, we're too deep. Use the mini-sub and a torch. Burn through the cable.
Mini-sub and all these mines?
Can you think of a better idea, Captain?
I quit a couple of hours ago when I suggested we wait for repairs.
You made your point. The responsibility is now mine.
Aye, aye, sir.
Harry, take it easy.
This is the captain. We're in the middle of a minefield. Cable is caught on a forward searchlight.
I need two volunteers for the mini sub.
In the bunk room, one of the crew picks up the phone.
Gleason, sir. I'll go.
Right, Gleason.
Okay, Red. Here's your chance for that joyride.
Smith, sir. Count on me.
Right, Smith.
Hey, that's young Jimmy.
Now, look, this is a pretty touchy situation, so play it cool.
Aye, aye, sir.
Aye, aye, sir.
Good luck.
Smith looks far from cool. He and Gleason in diving gear climb into the cockpit of the mini sub. The hatch is closed and the sub is lowered away. The tiny craft emerges from the bottom of the mothership and scuds away. The mini sub cruises towards the nose of the Sea View where the mine is still attached. Alvarez watches from the observation room as the mini sub hoves into view. Oxyacetylene equipment in the nose of the mini sub cuts through the cable. The mine bobs up, hitting another. The mini-sub is buffeted backwards into another mine, which explodes, destroying the sub and cracking the hull of the Sea View. Water sprays in.
Damage control, stand by!
Crane turns a large valve, which somehow seems to stem the ingress of water.
What are your orders now, sir?
Back out of the minefield, dead slow. Then proceed with caution until the generator is fixed.
Aye, aye, sir. All back. Dead slow.
All back. Dead slow.
The Sea View inches gingerly out from among the suspended mines. Kathy Connors knocks on Nelson's door. Emery, standing behind her, pushes past and opens the door. Nelson is seated at his desk, apparently deep in thought.
Are you all right, sir?
Yes, of course, Connors. Perfectly all right.
Are you, Harry?
Gleason was a good man. So was young Smith. Little Jimmy.
Look, you have no right to brood, Harry. You had to take a gamble, otherwise your entire plan would have been wrecked.
The Commodore's right, sir. If the generator hadn't gone out...
You're both very kind, thank you.
Kind? No one has been... Hey, that's pretty good, isn't it? Only about 6 hours. What do you say, Connors? What's that?
Nothing important. Seems that somebody's concerned about my health and welfare.
Huh?
Yes?
This is the captain. Please come to the sick bay, sir, at once.
Very well.
Now what?
Let's find out. Come along, Connors.
They all set off, the emergency lights having been replaced with the full system again. Crane stands in the sick bay. He raises the sheet from a gurney to show Nelson.
Hodges?
He smashed in the medicine chest and swallowed these, Admiral. Must have typed that note on my machine.
I was to blame for the death of Gleason and Smith. I sabotaged the generator. Although only God knows why I did this terrible thing.
Sabotage?
He wasn't responsible, Admiral. It was a severe nervous breakdown.
That's beside the point, Doctor. All right, Captain. You blame me for the death of Gleason and Smith. But here is positive proof that those men were victims not of my impatience, but of deliberate sabotage. Any comments?
Yes, sir. Sabotage might be just the beginning. You're driving my crew to the point of exhaustion, possibly even rebellion. These are men, not machines. If they break down a blow-up, we'll never meet your deadline.
We'll meet it because we have to meet it. I'm not worried that your men can't take it. They can. But I am concerned about your alternative, rebellion. I found this note in my cabin just a few minutes ago.
If you continue your lunatic project, you'll never live to see it completed. Hodges will never see it completed. He won't bother you anymore.
I'm not so sure that he did. These notes were not typed on the same machine. Double the security guard. All men off duty restricted to quarters. Until proved otherwise, everyone is suspect.
Nelson exits. Emery, Hiller, and the doctor exchange grim looks.
Lee, don't turn against the Admiral.
I'm not turning against anybody.
Oh, Lee, let's not argue, please. Not now. Not now.
Lieutenant. There is something you can do to help. Take this note sent to the Admiral. Run a test sample on all the typewriters.
Well, I don't have to. The dot's off the small I. This was typed on my machine.
In the Admiral's office, Kathy.
Yes.
Captain, may I speak freely?
Please do.
You're so concerned about your crew that you're overlooking other danger signs. Admiral Nelson's becoming a textbook case. Taciturnity combined with anxiety, high irritability, and now perhaps delusions of persecution.
Delusions?
The Admiral could have typed that threatening note himself.
Susan, how can you consider such a thing?
Kathy. Well, thanks very much for your diagnosis, Dr. Hiller. The Admiral is showing signs of strain. However, I'm sure he's in complete command of his senses.
I hope so. We still have a long way to go.
The Sea View continues on its course. A pair of hands draw a line on a chart. Crane is the first on the scene with a fire extinguisher. Other men join him and help Nelson to safety.
Step up the barrel of the ventilator!
Please! It's not smoke! Look up here! It's gas!
Surface! Surface!
The sub breaks surface beneath the angry red sky. Romano and Crane gasp as they come out onto the bridge. The rest of the crew pile onto the deck. Romano points off towards the port side.
Ship off the port side, sir.
Glass.
Nelson raises binoculars and spots a tramp steamer turning towards them.
Looks for calm.
On the ship! On the ship! Can you read me?
Crane lays aside the megaphone and turns to Nelson.
Shall I send out a boat, sir? We can't proceed until we ventilate anyway.
Very well.
Rescue team up and out on the double.
A small yellow inflatable carrying three or four crew disappears into the mist. The men clamber up netting hanging from the side of the seemingly deserted ship.
Check forward, check aft.
While the men do as they are bid, the officer pulls open a door. The body of a man rolls out onto the deck. One of the seamen returns. He leans down and checks the body.
Let's go.
Dead. They're all dead.
The rescue party climb back down the netting. The crew of the Sea View wait expectantly on the deck as out from the mist bobs the tiny boat.
Dead men on a dead ship. Ain't it about time we went home?
Yeah. You've all got families, haven't you? Well, how about it?
Right, leave it to me.
Yes, Lieutenant.
It's a complete derelict, sir. Just 4 days out of Honolulu. Everyone's dead. The heat, no water. We found this in the bar. It's the Hawaiian Times. It's dated last Thursday.
I've been asked to speak for some of the crew, sir.
What is it, Kowski?
We've been feeling this way for days, but... well, I guess that dead ship brought it to a head.
Brought what to a head?
Sir, the men feel if it's really the end coming, they ought to be spending their last hours with their wives and families. Now, we respectfully demand, sir, that you take us back home.
I see. Well, may I remind all of you that this is a government ship. Demands made by a crewman or an officer could be considered mutiny. Shall I so consider it? Well, speak up!
Captain, as a civilian, may I say a word? The world may end at any minute now. Certainly at such a time, these men have a right to choose where to die and with whom.
Listen, Mr. Alvarez.
Just a minute, Captain. Mr. Alvarez makes a valid point. I do not believe the world is ending. If I did, I'd be heading for home myself. But in fairness to everyone, there is some recent news that may have a bearing on your decision. It comes from a Honolulu newspaper found on the derelict yacht. The headline reads, World Subs Ordered to Stop Seaview from Firing Missile. So, in addition to all our other problems, we are now a hunted ship, and we may never get a chance to fire the missile. This in no way alters my plans. This ship will hold its course. But in view of this news and your request, the men who want to go home may do so. On that yacht. I think you're fools to try it, but I'll supply sufficient water and food to give you a good fighting chance.
Admiral, if we're to meet your deadline to the Marianas, it's madness to split this crew. In view of the threat of mutiny, we...
Not mutiny yet, Captain. Your challenge was not taken up by the men. All our trouble stems from the fanatical desire on the part of some, not all of them, to go home. I'd rather have a small, loyal crew than risk further sabotage.
Admiral.
That's enough, Captain. Men, you have 15 minutes to make your decision. Please have any in the sick bay that want to go placed aboard the yacht. One of you doctors better go along, the other stay. Dr. Jameson, I would say that this looks like a job for you.
Yes, sir.
Get the supplies rolling, Captain. Excuse me.
Nelson stands in the control room, leaning down and peering into the periscope. He observes the numerous members of the crew decamping to the steamer in inflatable boats. He turns and shrugs wearily at Emery.
All clear on deck!
Very well. Captain, take her down.
Take her down! 100 feet! 100 feet! Blood negative!
Are you all right, Admiral?
Perfectly all right, thanks, Captain Crane.
Well, Mr. Alvarez, I see you decided to stay with us.
Stay or go, what's the difference? Once the bee will be.
Drag it on my nerves.
Cheerful, isn't it?
Stern's under. Deck's awash.
Full speed ahead, Captain.
One moment, sir. Lieutenant, I ask you take official note of my protest against the Admiral's actions.
Actions?
Yes, sir. Despite my objection, you encourage desertion.
I can't argue with that. You're within your rights to record a protest, but, Lieutenant, you can also record this. Desertion or not, we're better off without a murder on board. The note I found was no idle warning. That fire in my cabin was deliberately set.
Begging your pardon, sir. Romano?
Fire detail found a cigar burning on the floor, sir.
Meaning I was smoking in bed?
Apparently, sir.
Apparently, sir, except I ran out of cigars before I went to bed. Lieutenant, file the captain's report. Then have my cabin cleaned up. I'm going to check supplies for more cigars.
Delusions are typical in cases like this.
I'll be in my quarters.
Aye, aye, sir.
Crane, in his quarters, pours himself a coffee and stares in perplexity at a manual sitting on his desk.
Yes?
Kathy enters.
Hi. Buy a cup of coffee?
Look, Lee.
Now, wait just a minute. I appreciate your blind loyalty to the Admiral. I felt that way myself until his lunatic actions started to follow a pattern.
Lunatic actions?
All right, is this rational? No search for survivors in Ice Floe Delta. Crash dived in New York with police on deck. Sent a mini-sub into a minefield which killed two of my men.
Well, he had to take the
chance. Drove a fine officer to sabotage and suicide. Produced a threatening note which he probably wrote himself. Then he dreamed up this so-called murder attempt which was actually his smoking in bed.
I believe
And now the final straw, he approves a desertion. When we desperately need every able-bodied man on this sub. Lord knows what he'll do next.
Or what you'll do next, is that it? Procedure under which a subordinate officer may relieve a superior of his command.
That's just in case.
Of what?
I decide the Admiral is irresponsible.
Irresponsible? Well, then what are you going to do about the missile? It has to be fired.
Why? If the Admiral's crazy, his plan is crazy, too. The UN thought so. They've got subs out looking for us right now.
Well, Professor Emery believes in it.
I'm sorry. But until I say so, the matter's closed.
Kathy storms out. Crane throws down his pencil. The Seaview continues on her route. Hands draw lines on charts. In the control room.
Sir, less than 8 degrees to Dr. Zuko's burnout point.
165. Well, let's hope he's right. Hang it out.
Crane paces in the control room.
What's our position?
Guam's due south of us, sir. Just 12 miles of target.
Death?
This is the captain. We're 12 miles and 50 minutes to zero.
Missile ready for firing?
All ready, sir.
I'll speak to the ship.
Sparks, fight the Admiral through the ship.
Aye, aye, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
This is the Admiral. The missile is primed, and in exactly 49 minutes, it'll be fired. Shortly thereafter, we should know if our long voyage across the world has been justified. With luck, we'll soon be on our way home. That is all. Connors, we're all out of aspirin here.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'll get some.
Nelson looks at his watch and follows her out. In the sick bay, Hiller is dressing Emery's arm as he smokes his cigarette. Kathy enters.
Susan, where do you keep the aspirin?
Top drawer over there. Thank
you. Lucius, what happened to you?
Oh, nothing. Got a little too close to one of my sharks. You know Bessie.
Will he be all right, Doctor?
It's not serious, Admiral.
I thought Bessie was a friend of him. Lieutenant, you should be on duty.
Not me, sir. I'm beat.
Aren't we all? Get forward.
Sorry, sir. As a sick man, I take my orders from the doctor.
Sick, huh? In my judgment, you're faking.
With due respect, sir, I think your judgment's been a little rocky lately.
Why, you gold-bricking pipsqueak.
Nelson slaps Romano and leaves, crossing Crane.
What brought that on?
Come on, tell him.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Tell him.
First the doctor tells me to rest, then the admiral comes in and orders me back to duty, then pow!
Doctor, I request you certify the admiral as irresponsible, if you agree.
What?
I certainly do, Captain.
Master at arms, sick bay, on the double.
Hold it, sir. It was all my fault. I was disrespectful.
Captain, you can't arrest the admiral.
Oh, of course you can't, Lee.
Any other decision would be dangerous for everybody else on board.
Captain, that missile's scheduled to be fired at 4 o'clock. Are you still going to permit this?
I guarantee the Admiral's plan is sound.
Dr. Zucker and our finest scientific minds don't agree.
Dr. Zucker.
You can't do it, and I'm going to warn him.
Lieutenant, confine yourself to your quarters. That's an order. Follow me.
Nelson paces in the observation lounge. He presses a button. Hiller answers the buzzer in the sick bay.
Yes?
Dr. Hiller, this is the Admiral. Is the Captain still there?
He's just gone forward, Admiral.
Sir. Sir, I deeply regret this, but under Federal Regulations number 249, governing conduct in the high seas, I am forced to relieve you of your command.
Arrest?
Not arrest, sir. I'm placing you on sick list.
And if I refuse?
I'm afraid you have no choice. I must also inform you this, sir. I've decided not to fire the missile.
Lee, for the love of heaven!
Most of the scientists agree the fire will burn itself out at 173 degrees. I'll wait and see.
Lee, you must fire that missile at 4 o'clock or we lose the angle of trajectory.
Detail?
Captain, this is sonar. Unidentified fast propellers bearing 090. About 2,000 yards astern.
They've found us.
Approaching to starboard.
Left full rudder. Battle stations. Take off.
Sparks, contact that sub and tell them we're not firing the missile. Sonar, switch pickup into the PA.
Battle stations.
The Sea View begins to turn in the deep water. Two torpedoes speed through the water after her. Emery walks hurriedly out of the sick bay. The torpedoes pass harmlessly by.
Too close.
Sparks, can't you reach that sub?
There's no answer, sir.
Rig for attack. Ready, torpedoes.
No, we can't fire on a UN sub. We've got to make a run for it.
Romano looks at Hiller and then walks decisively out of the sick bay. Two more torpedoes speed towards the Sea View. Romano runs into the control room.
Torpedoes approaching starboard.
Left full rudder.
The torpedoes speed towards the ship. They virtually shave the underside of the hull.
We were a sitting duck. Die.
I'm getting orders aboard this ship.
I'm not challenging that, but I built this ship. We can take the pressure of the Mariana Trench. That sub can't dive as deep. Dive, Lee, dive, for heaven's sake. Dive.
Dive.
400 feet.
400.
The Sea View heads down with the UN sub in pursuit. Hiller listens to the intercom.
600. 800.
The UN sub continues to speed after the Sea View.
1,200 feet.
1,200.
1,400 feet.
1,400.
More torpedoes shoot towards the sea view. Two torpedoes narrowly miss the sea view and plow into a huge bluff of rock. Inside the sub, the crew struggle to remain on their feet. The UN sub looses two more torpedoes.
Twenty-five hundred feet.
Torpedoes approaching port side.
Break full rudder.
Again, the torpedoes hit the rocks. Crew members in the chaotic mess can barely keep hold of their cigarettes.
Fools, they better get up fast.
3,200 feet.
She'll blow!
The UN sub does blow. The blast severely rocks the sea view. Men tumble this way and the other. Sparks erupt from electrical equipment. Water leaks in.
This is sonar. We're picking up something else, real close.
Well, there can't be another sub.
Not at this depth.
From the depths of the Mariana Trench appears a vast octopus which latches onto the nose of the stricken sub.
Hey, what the?
Power room. Reactors up full. Shoot a charge through the hull.
Aye, aye, sir.
Must give way.
Full emergency power.
Full emergency power.
It's breaking loose.
The octopus, having been severely electrocuted, slides off the hull and back downwards.
That did it, Lee.
All ahead, fool.
All ahead, fool.
Oh, what happened?
Power room.
No answer.
Negative. Control room. What happened to the reactors?
Don't know, sir. They just quit.
I'll find out myself.
Hiller staggers out through the hatch door marked danger leading to the reactors.
The Admiral's scheme is suicidal insanity.
If you pick up a fatal dose of radiation, it glows red.
Hiller's badge glows red.
You gotta stop the Admiral. He'll destroy the world.
Crane hurries through the aquarium section. Hiller appears from the generator room.
Doctor, what were you doing in there?
Making sure you don't reach your target position by 4 o'clock.
So you were the saboteur.
She is catapulted into the shark tank while Crane is knocked unconscious.
Control room, switch to auxiliary, fast.
Aye, aye, sir. Moving on batteries, sir.
Very well. What's the temperature reading?
173.2, and the fire's still burning.
I knew it. Zuko was wrong. There was no burnout point. Stand by to fire.
Aye, aye, sir.
Sail camera, prepare to track missile.
Sail camera on. Missile room, stand by. Number 82.
Missile room, standing by.
Target position, 10 minutes.
This is the missile room. Hatch opening now.
We made it, Alvarez. We'll fire that missile on time.
I think not, Admiral.
Alvarez!
No man has a right to challenge God's will.
Have you gone completely mad? Put down that bomb.
Man has sown the seeds of sin. Now he will reap the whirlwind.
Nelson stands helplessly as Alvarez, clutching one of the high explosives from the missile room, opens the control room door.
Everybody stand still. Lieutenant, get away from the missile button. Don't move, Admiral. Hold it! Attention, everyone. This is Alvarez. I have a bomb.
A bomb?
If anybody tries to fire the missile, I'll blow up the ship. Captain Crane, wherever you are, see that no one interferes.
Emery hurries along a corridor.
Kathy.
Commodore, where's Lee?
Come on. We have no time to lose. We must find him.
The standoff between Alvarez and the rest of the crew continues. Crane lies unconscious by the shark tank.
Lee!
What's the matter? Hey, what's the matter, my boy? What happened?
Alvarez has a bomb. He's holding the ship at bay.
We only got a few minutes and the missile's got to be fired.
The Alvarez is covering the control room.
Must be some other way.
You go to your quarters.
Only 8 more minutes, Admiral. Then it will be too late for you to do anything.
Diving gear on the double.
Crane prepares to don a wetsuit.
Which hatch is open?
Number 8, sir, just under the bridge.
Alvarez, for heaven's sake, man, come to your senses. If the missile isn't fired in 6 minutes, we...
It won't be. God's will is written across the heavens.
The Seaview continues on her course. Crane, now in his wetsuit, prepares to leave. Armed with one of the patent propeller motors, he is helped into the airlock. The hatch opens and Crane emerges onto the hull of the sub. He pulls himself purposefully along towards the missile hatch. Nelson sees Crane on a nearby screen. Crane reaches the open hatch and attaches his propeller motor to the tip of the missile. Nelson continues to nervously monitor the screen. Alvarez observes the ticking clock. Crane sets the time on the device. Crane hurries back towards the airlock.
Alvarez, are you saying that man must accept destruction, even though it's in his power to avert it?
It's not for us to judge, Admiral.
Freeze! Not to judge, maybe, but we can reason. If God ordains that man should die without a fight, then why does he give us the will to live?
Alvarez looks slightly doubtful for a moment, but then notes the clock and regains his composure.
Your time's run out, Admiral.
The missile shoots upwards from the sea view.
This is the Admiral. Surface! Surface!
Surface! Surface!
The submarine breaks surface beneath the red sky. Crane is still clinging to the deck. Men emerge from the tower and hurry across to help Crane. Nelson appears, and then Kathy. As forked lightning crackles overhead, the redness in the sky begins to clear. Emery crosses to Nelson and shakes him by the hand. Kathy embraces Crane.
You did it!
Lucius, we did it.
Admiral, sir?
Lieutenant?
Thank you, sir.
Good luck, lad.
Thank you.
Lucius.
Admiral!
Lee. Full speed for home, Lee.
Aye, aye, sir.
On a smooth ocean and beneath a sky of glorious azure blue dappled with small white clouds, the Seaview powers across the surface towards home. The end.